Welcome to this episode where we are going to be talking about cults. You're listening to Hard Topics. I'm Kylie.
And I'm Christine.
Let's get started.
I'm going to start with a question.
Cool.
In your opinion, what makes cults a hard topic?
Oh, I wasn't expecting you to ask me that. Well, what makes it a difficult topic is because when you think about cults and not just, and not in the sense of, oh, wow, I'm in a CrossFit cult, but an actual very a serious cult where you know, you're giving your money to this cult and you don't know you're in a cult and your whole life is going to revolve around the cult. I think that's very scary because your life is no longer in your control. And I think it's a hard topic in that sense of possibly someone could be listening to this and they can go, oh crap, maybe I'm in a cult. Maybe now I can do something about it. Speaking about something that's difficult to talk about, because it's not like people go around and talk about cults. It's not something that comes up in everyday conversation. Maybe people will make light of the fact that something's a cult when maybe it's not really one. But if we're really going to talk about cult in the sense of it's a hard topic, I think we're talking about something much more severe. Am I on the right track?
I mean, there's no right or wrong answer, so.
Oh, good. Okay.
I mean, I would say yes, because you answered.
Whew. All right. Cults. So I'm also going to ask you a question, because that's what we like to do. And we can take this back again to episode one, where you mentioned that you really are fascinated by cults. And so I wanted to ask you, when did you first become fascinated by cults? And what do you think caused this awareness for your fascination?
So actually, I've been thinking a little bit about this in preparation to talk to you about this episode . I actually think that it sort of stemmed from growing up in the 90s, and Lifetime movies were very popular then.
Right.
And often there was a Lifetime movie about escaping some kind of
cult. Right.
And I think that's sort of where the fascination came from. I also was thinking a little bit more about what it is about cults that fascinates me. And I realized that it's not, my obsession is not general across all different types of cults.
Right.
I really feel that it's more focused on the extreme religious sects or new religions. And then I love a good escape story.
Someone that got out of the cult.
Yes.
So much drama.
Love it.
Okay.
I find the polygamist Mormon sects and communities fascinating. Right. So fascinating. And a number of years ago, I don't know, maybe it was like 10 years ago at this point, maybe not even that much, but they were raiding them because of child endangerment, and you know, they're having like young girls marry these old disgusting men, right? And Lisa Ling did like this investigative report from this compound. I think it was somewhere in Utah, and I was just like glued.
So what happened? They break up the cult?
No, but they did arrest that Warren Jeffs guy, who's the leader. Mm. So he's in prison.
Good.
But I don't think that, I mean, they still exist.
That's nuts to me, how compounds can exist. I mean, maybe not nuts after doing the research on how cults come about and what a cult actually is. Funny story, but not really funny story, just point of information. When I was Googling the etymology of the word cult, I came to know that the word cultivar comes from the word, it's a mixture of the word cultivate and variety, and they get the word cultivar. I thought that was pretty cool.
I don't know what cultivar means.
So cultivar, it refers, I think, specifically to when you're gardening and a specific cultivar of plants. So when you're when you're cultivating, growing,
cultivating.
Yeah, cultivating.
Okay. Which other? How did that relate back to cults, or did it just come up in your search because of the?
It came up in my search, but the etymology of cult basically relates to the etymology of culture, and then also cultivate. And as with most English words, it comes from the Latin word cultus, which has a few translations, and it kind of relates to the word cultivation or training or education, or also adoration, and how that's kind of taken its form in later life to the word cult, which is then synonymous with like adoration for someone. Generally speaking, there's an educational component, like a bettering your life kind of sense. Yeah.
That actually makes it sound like a very positive thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the intention is, although I don't know where I was going with my thought, but I guess like maybe to like the cult leader or the founder of the cult and the members, that it is a positive thing.
Right.
I actually did write down some like general behaviors, and I didn't get this from a source. This is just from my obsessively watching Lifetime movies in the 1990s and then watching every documentary that has ever come out on Netflix. Thanks. And et cetera. So I'm going to read them to you. I actually did write down self-help, self-improvement.
Mm-hmm.
They enforce radical practices. And my examples were some form of child endangerment or polygamy.
Yeah.
Enforce radical practices based in radical beliefs. Mm-hmm. So something like the end of the world, and that if they follow whatever the cult believes in, then that is their ticket into the kingdom of heaven. And then I also wrote down brainwashing.
Yep.
You join our cult, you give up this, you give us money maybe, you have to wear these hideous dresses, or you can only wear red or whatever it may be. And that is a way to find inner enlightenment and
self-improvement. Yeah. Like by being in the cult, you're actually a better form of yourself. I watched a few videos about how from people that were in cults, where these people that were still, when they were being interviewed, were really involved in the cult, and they were going, yeah, you know, before I joined this cult, I was a horrible person. They've completely disassociated themselves from pre-cult person and then current cult member. And they've gone, this cult leader has shown me the light. They've really helped me become a better person. And often what I've read about people that get involved in cults is there are these recruiters who seek out people to join the cult. And although there are no set personality types that can become more or less susceptible to being in a cult, usually the case is for people that are going through hard times where they're emotionally vulnerable. So maybe you've just been broken up with, or you're moving house, or you're going through a really stressful situation. Think about the pandemic and how many people are feeling isolated and lonely. And those people in those specific situations are the ones who are most vulnerable to joining a cult without even realizing it. That was, I think, for me, the scariest part of my research, was how when I thought about cults, I thought, please, man, I would never be part of a cult. I'm relatively level-headed, and I'm pretty sure I could spot a cult a mile away. I mean, you walk past a building which kind of says Scientology, sign up today, and I can go, that's never going to happen. But the scary part about cults, when we look at it, which I'm sure we'll discuss in a bit, anybody can be susceptible to joining a cult without realizing it.
I also think the same about myself.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I'm easily duped. I think I can be very skeptical especially of anything that sort of promotes this like self-improvement.
Buy these Herbalife products.
Yeah. I'm like, okay. But I guess if you look at, I guess if you were to maybe, God, I really wish we knew someone who was in a cult that we could interview. But I bet you if we had that opportunity, I bet at least half the people would say that they didn't realize at first.
Oh yeah.
And then it went too far and they were stuck.
Right. Because like you were saying earlier, another really interesting fact about cults is that in the beginning, you're rewarded for doing, like for behaving within the cult's set outlined ideal behavior, and you're punished if you go against that. And if you even question the ideology, which is usually ideology that's not realistic, for example, believing in aliens, whatever the case is, then you're punished and you're made to feel fearful. And the cult leader will do anything. Like you talked about brainwashing. You're brainwashed to believe that you can't talk to anyone. You can't question the ideology. You just kind of, by that stage, so it happens in stages. And by the stage that you have no friends anymore, no family, you're scared to talk to anyone. Kind of like in George Orwell's 1984, Big Brother watching you, you can't tell anyone anything, so you don't know who's going to report to you. And that idea of just, I have to keep to myself and I have to pretend like I am enjoying this cult because otherwise this is my only option, or I will get punished or killed or something really bad is going to happen. What way worse than staying in the cult?
Do you think that you, so going back to your point, right, about how you don't feel like you're easily susceptible, do you think that you have any or exhibit any behaviors or beliefs that could potentially make you susceptible to joining a cult, either on purpose or by accident?
So I would say that I am potentially susceptible in the sense that I've gone through phases of my life where I was vulnerable. So if at that time and that situation, I was kind of recruited, it could have happened. Something that I find quite funny in television series and movies specifically is that improv comedy is almost exclusively made to look like it's a cult.
Really?
Which is always,
And I didn't know that.
I don't know why, because I think a lot of people that write for these television shows or movies maybe did improv in their former life before they were writing for TV and movies. And when I was looking up definitions and understanding what makes something a cult, I kind of understand superficially why improv comedy could be likened to being in a cult, because you meet regularly, you are involved in this specific ideology, this yes and ideology, which might not be what you would do in real life, if in other situations in life, and you associate yourself with all the people you talk to about improv comedy are usually doing comedy and performing comedy with you. Maybe people are afraid to speak up and say, "Ooh, I don't like what you did," for fear of something. But I don't know if there's necessarily an improv comedy cult leader, or if there is, I certainly haven't heard about them. So maybe you could say that I was in something that some people perceive to be a cult. Is it a cult? I'd say no, but we can get into that after we've analyzed what a cult is, and you can tell me if you think it's a cult or not. Based off what I've read about cults, I don't think I am in one, but I wouldn't, I'm quite scared that what if one day I am susceptible to a cult because of the way it can happen, so they can make it seem so or happen organically. And it's kind of that phrase, if you stand for nothing, then you fall for everything. So potentially the more secure you are in yourself, the less likely you are to get get sucked into the vortex of this cult.
I wrote down some characteristics. Again, this is not based off of any research. This is just based on my understanding and my belief about cults.
Okay.
Characteristics of both the cult leaders and the cult members.
Okay.
So there's some overlap. So for cult leaders, psychotic, narcissistic, believe God speaks directly to them, not afraid of death, obsession with sex, or being free-spirited with the body.
Okay, like that whole polygamy concept.
I think that the obsession with sex, like taking many wives, or do you know anything about the Branch Davidians, the Waco, Texas?
No, but I'd love to hear more about it.
The leader of that cult was the only person that was allowed to have sex with the women. So, their couples would join this cult or be in the cult, and the wives would not be
with their husbands.
Intimate with their husbands. They would be intimate with the leader and all the children were his children.
Right. I think I did hear about this. Not yeah.
So an obsession with sex in that sense, but then also some are more like sort of hippie-ish, I guess, where it's like a freedom and a looseness, I guess. I think I imagine like the 1960s, 1970s where it's like
free love.
Free love, yeah.
And like as in the opposite of a type A personality, very creative, and we're doing this for you. So real society isn't for you. Like when you're in our group, we take care of you. We're doing this for your benefit.
Right.
Yeah.
I also wrote down believe that it's them against the world, and overly confident. And then characteristics of the cult members. So again, there's some overlap, but I wrote down lonely and looking for a home slash family, vulnerable, easily manipulated, can also be psychotic, can also be narcissistic, and also believe once they fall into the trap of the cult that it's them against the world and their followers.
Yeah, like sheep.
Yeah.
Yeah, they want to be led.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And there's that fine line between, immediately when I Googled what is a cult, one of the first Google questions was, what's the difference between a religious group and a cult?
Right. Oh, that was one of my questions for you.
Hopefully I can do this justice. So a religious group also have, there are similarities, so they both have an ideology and a potentially a set of rules of how to live your life, and you sometimes in certain religious groups you do pay money to the church. But the difference is that what is the difference? Well, the difference is that for the most part, if you're very fanatically involved in the religious group, it won't end in death. And usually I think the group won't, oh no, you do get ostracized from religious groups. There is a main difference that I read. What was it? Do you know the answer by any chance?
I didn't actually look that up. But for me, the difference is that if you're a follower of a religion, even a very strict religion, you're still able to be a regular part of whatever society you are in.
Right.
Where if you're in a cult, that's it. You only socialize or have interactions with cult members. You probably do not live any form of, I'm air quoting, normal life, right? Like you may be on a compound that you don't leave. You may have to, or you likely have to stop, you know, speaking and seeing family members and friends that are not a part of the cult. Where a religion, again, even a strict one, you still are in the world.
Yes, you don't have to cut yourself off from everything. Okay. Well, the site that I just checked now kind of says the only difference between a cult and religion is the 100 years. But I don't really agree.
100 years?
100 years, that's what they say. Yes, it says, okay, so then it says those who accept the beliefs and rituals are members of the religion, but many outside consider the movement and its followers to be a cult.
I also think that a religion can be a cult.
So when I was reading up about what makes something a cult, I was quite eye-opened to the fact that it's very possible that the yeshiva, which is where the religious men go and study the Torah, book one of the Bible, and that to me, and then it's also called a midrashah for women who want to study the Bible text, that kind of sounds very similar to a cult. Because you are living in a, what's not called a compound, but you're all living together, as in men in one place and women in another place, very far apart geographically, because men and women shouldn't mix. And to some degree, you are in what I think they would call themselves in a bubble. You do not affiliate with anyone, first of all, who's not Jewish. And maybe this is a blanket statement. I'm sure some people break that. But you're following whoever the leader of the yeshiva or midrasha is, and you're following a very specific routine. If you do not conform to the religious practices I presume you won't be able to stay in the building. And yeah, I think it's very scary. I mean, Jewish people are very encouraged to ask questions, which is something I really enjoy about Judaism. You really need to ask what's going on and question. But there is also the other side where you're scared to ask something or say something for fear of being ostracized. And, you know, I know a few people who left the yeshiva and because they were gay and they felt that they couldn't be themselves. And so they left and they just kind of stopped being in any way religious, which is quite interesting slash scary for me. And I think you're right. I think religious groups can be cults, but not all cults are religious groups.
Correct. What are your opinions on the Hasidic communities?
Yeah. So I'm sure, well, maybe you've seen the documentaries that are on Netflix. Well, there's that really great Rachel McAdams, Disobedience, and there's Orthodox, and there's another one that I can't quite remember specifically about the Hasidic community. And that is very much religious fanaticism. Like that's the Jewish religion very much at its extreme, and is something that I've never personally been exposed to, thankfully, because it is incredibly sexist and cultish. What is my opinion about it? Well, I wish that more people within that community could be educated on what is available, the options available to them. That I feel like some people, and again, this is just my opinion, I'm not saying this is how it is, but it's my assumption that most of the people in the community, specifically the women, don't realize that they have an option to not be there. And if there could just be some literature or information given to everybody in the community that says, you don't have to be here, you can still be a religious practicing Jewish person, but not in this group and not to this degree. And I, from what I've seen from these documentaries and heard, you know, about it, it seems very insular, and it's insular for the specific reason of control. So I was going to mention that earlier to your point about wanting to keep people in the cult, keep people unaware of what's going on outside of that. It's in the cult leader and cult's best interest for people to become brainwashed and as uninformed and detached from reality as in anything outside of the cult as possible. Because the minute you have detached yourself in all ties to the world outside the cult, the longer you're going to stay there and be influenced by it.
I think there's a difference between being an active participant and an active follower of your religion.
I had a very fair weather friend for all of 5 minutes who told me that we couldn't be friends and also passed judgment on me because I wouldn't accept Jesus. I was not going to be say I wouldn't accept Jesus in my life. And he just goes, but if you don't do that, then Jesus can't save you. And if Jesus can't save you, then you and I won't end up in the same place. And I was like, where is that graduation ceremony? I mean, is Jesus going to help me write my finals? Like, what is happening here? You know, that friendship ended, and he was a very judgmental person from a religious context because funnily enough, he was part of Shofar, and I do find the Shofar Church to be quite cultish. Do you know, have you heard of them?
No, I don't know anything about that.
Oh, have they not reached the States yet? Well, they're a very interesting religious group. And again, I don't know too much about them. From what I know is the reason that I think they're quite cultish is because depending on at what level you're integrated into the group, the more severe the rules. So I remember talking to someone who was saying that their sister, her now husband, had to sign a contract. So not with each other, not as in a marriage contract, but a contract to the church that told them what they could wear, when they could interact with other people, and I don't know, a bunch of other random nonsense that they had to agree to. And if they didn't, then they weren't allowed to be part of the church. And also, they lock the doors when the ceremony starts, so you can't leave. Yeah. And these are also these are ways to identify if you're in a cult. So look, I'm not saying Shofar is a cult. I just recognize that there are certain attributes about their religious groups that very much sound very cultish. And if I were to be Christian, I don't know if I would gravitate towards them. Gravitate towards them. But that I know that they target like, specific.
Sorry, go ahead.
I just said that they specifically target young people, which is great because Stellenbosch has mostly young people. Yeah, it sounds like.
That sounds a lot like Scientology. Don't they have to like sign contracts and they have
all these... sign contracts? I know you have to get your thetan levels measured, something like that.
It's all very a bit strange. I do actually feel, and this is probably why I'm drawn to religious cults, but I'm actually a little like freaked out by radical religions.
Okay.
Like something like that. Like that freaks me out.
The doors being locked? Or
yeah.
The signing of
the contract, the doors being locked.
Descriptive behavior.
I just, even like the what your friend said to you about how if you don't believe in Jesus, then you're basically not going to heaven. I mean,
yeah, well,
that's so extreme.
Oh, extreme. But we're very lucky. The Jewish religion, all of us are just straight up going there because we don't believe in hell. And so it's not really
a problem. Oh, I don't think I
knew that. It's not really a problem, buddy. Like, we'll be fine. Milk of land and honey, yo. Cool. Don't worry about it. So you were mentioning words associated with cults and cult behavior. I was wondering if you came about a term called love bombed.
No.
Do you know what that is?
I mean, I could make something up based on context clues, but I'd rather you just tell me what it is.
I mean, I don't want to watch you squirm and try and find an answer, but I just want to, yeah, give me a definition and see what you can come up with.
In the context of cults, I would say that it's a tactic to get new members by bombing them with feelings of love and welcomeness and openness, and that if you come to our group, you will be loved and you will find love.
I am. You are very talented at defining concepts, is something I have noticed about you. You should get a job at like Webster's Dictionary or Oxford Dictionary or Encyclopedia of Definitions.
Encyclopedia of Definitions.
Yeah, Christine's A to F Definitions. Why not? You could sign. Is that not a thing? It's not a thing. You could thing.
Well, I think this. I think that's. It's redundant, right? Isn't the encyclopedia a bulk of definitions?
Well, but that was a great definition. And so, love bombed is one of the phases of getting people to stay in the cult. And so, it's just after they've been recruited, and they're kind of. Their egos are massaged and they're just shown lots of love and affection and attention from the group and lots of praise to the point where they feel like they're in the group and everyone's relating to them and it's such a happy place and it's a safe place where they can go and they feel that they can trust everybody. So you're 100% right. It's literally love bombed, being completely smothered by the people in the group with love and just all the happy, good feelings. Very similar to, kind of have seen that it's similar to being in a very abusive relationship where it starts out. If you do, you, have you ever heard of the cycle of violence?
When an abuser abuses you and then is loving and then abuse. So it. They trap you because you are like, well, they've changed.
Mm-hmm. They're nice to me. So it's kind of with the cult, they welcome you and it's very, very low stakes for you. And it's kind of like, oh, if you're not interested in doing what we're doing, that's totally fine. But maybe do our free personality test and we'll assess if maybe we can help better your life. And then, oh, you know what, we really can help you and you're just the best and you're doing really, really well, but we can help you do even better. And then get roped in, get roped in, get roped in. And then the abuse starts coming in small doses that you almost don't notice it till eventually you've been brainwashed to the point that, I wouldn't say it's too late, but to the point where you don't feel that you have any other options but to stay and keep getting better in, because you think that this cult is the only way that you can be okay. If you leave the cult, you'll be even worse off than your current position, being unhappy in the cult. Yeah.
So I think what you're saying is that we can very closely relate cults to abusive relationships.
Very, very, very much so, I would say. I watched this video that I would love to share with everyone on social media, and it really explained cults in in a way that really makes sense for someone that has never heard of cults before. And it sort of showed you how to spot a cult, if you are ready to hear this, or if you'd like another question.
I would like to hear this, but I would also like to, do you think that people have never heard about cults?
I'm sure they've heard about cults, but I don't think people know the severity of what a cult can lead to. And I think that cult has maybe been popularized. So it's like, oh, let's go watch a cult film, or wow, you're so cultish. You know, I don't know if people realize what a cult is. And also I think people probably do know what a cult is, but in their mind, they can only picture it as a religious cult, where there are different types of cults out there. It doesn't just have to be a religious affiliation to make it a cult.
I think that's a very important point to make, and I want to go back to that after you share the facts about this video.
How do you spot a cult? So there were three very specific characteristics. So number one is that your leader is incredibly charismatic, but also incredibly authoritative. They also mentioned that a cult group is basically the same as a totalist group. And I'll explain what that is just now. So you've got this leader who's someone that's probably a good orator, that really draws people in, that looks like the nicest guy, who's really doing everybody in the group a favor. Most of the time when you look at cults, if anyone researches this, you'll see that the cult leaders, they often don't have their name. They just kind of are looked at as brother or mother or dad. They're the dad, you know, and it's like, yeah, of course, you're my dad. They use familial love to kind of make you trust them. So it's like, yeah, well, obviously my brother is someone who would look out for me. I trust my brother. It's the brotherhood. And so they get you on that charm and charisma, which kind of links to, like you said, this narcissistic personality. I think these cult leaders, they have such big egos. They believe in themselves to such an extent that they make other people believe in themselves. They also show an absolute lack of empathy, psychopathic behavior. They have that absolute grandiose sense of self. You know, they blow hot air up themselves. And like in an abusive relationship, you know, they start off really nice and welcoming. And once they've got you, they've seen that you've been reeled in, to keep you, they use fear tactics. So it's like fear, they instill fear and terror in you so that you don't want to leave, or that you've been made to feel like you need to keep quiet. And very similar to this absolute abusive behavior, which can form itself in different ways. It can be physically abusive, sexually abusive. And then once you are in that position of fear, they then use what's called thought reform. And that's what we're talking about with the brainwashing. So thought reform is a very basic used tool by all authoritative leaders that it's essentially manipulation. It's coercion coercive persuasion. So it's like making you believe that whatever your reality is outside the cult isn't real, and everything the cult is telling you is real. And if you follow the cult's doctrine, you will live a clean, healthy life. We will help your brain. We will help change the way you think for the better. And I saw this horrifying video which a bit of it is in this video that I saw, but of this woman getting interviewed, where she literally, what they do is they create false memories. And then you kind of don't even know what's real and what's not. They make you, they like brainwash you to such an extent that you almost don't even know who you are. And that's what they want. They want you, to be malleable so that you can be marionetted. And yeah, so they just manipulate you. They change the way you think. And the one really scary part about thought reform is that it's done without you noticing. So it happens very, very slowly. You know, it kind of potentially starts with just assessing what ways that you could do things differently. And then it kind of slowly introduces, oh, well, this is the way the cult does it. This is the way everybody in the cult does it. Look how happy everyone in the cult is. Don't you want to be like everyone in the cult? Yeah, I do. I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to be not involved in this cult. This cult's making me feel loved. You get love bombed. And then the third characteristic, which is really serious, is when you're, you know, completely deep within it and you get exploited. So it's exploitation. Basically, once you've been so indoctrinated by the brainwashing, you know, and you can then become exploited economically, socially, politically, or sexually. And that exploitation, by that time, you probably also don't realize to what extent you've been exploited. You might be exploited in the sense of you become a recruiter. You believe so wholeheartedly that you're doing such a good thing for the cult that then you need to go out and find more people to join the cult. And you fully, you know, people respond very well to people that are authentic. And I think that you can be so drawn into a cult that you don't even realize, you start believing your own lies. You start believing that you want to help everybody. And that's what happened with this guy at Varsity. He believed to such a degree that I needed to be saved, that he needed to help me. If he didn't, he was doing a bad job by the definition of the cult he was in, or maybe he wasn't in a cult, the group he was in. And that's how to spot a cult. Simple as that.
It's interesting because when you read that, I really still believe that I would never fall for one.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that way?
That I would never fall for a cult? Well, if I was in an environment where I was feeling very isolated and maybe just generally mentally not feeling very mentally unstable, I guess, which I really hope I never am in that situation. But I think if someone caught me in that situation, it might be possible. If you ask me that blanket question, I would say no, I don't think I'm susceptible to being in a cult. But also it's done, the manipulation is so slight that it almost seems like it can happen so easily, because you kind of, you get into the cult, then they start making you think that you can't trust your friends and family because they're not in the cult. They don't believe what you believe. So then you detach yourself from the friends and family. It's so similar to that abusive relationship, you know?
But don't you think that at that point, your spidey senses would go off and you'd be like, that doesn't seem right? I mean, you now in your current state.
Oh, me in my current state.
Yeah.
Okay, that's different.
Yeah.
In my current state, I'd say no. But I have also been in a very mentally abusive relationship where I had multiple friends tell me how horrible this person was. And I just didn't believe them or see it. And it only really dawned on me 2 years after the breakup that relationship really wasn't healthy. But at the same time, when I got into that relationship, I had gone through something very traumatic and I was in a very vulnerable place. So to have someone be so incredibly manipulative makes sense for what I went through. And that's scary because I didn't see it. And I had so many friends say to me, we hate this guy. He's terrible. You need to end the relationship. And me going, oh, but you don't know. You don't see what happens when we're together, et cetera, et cetera. But it was toxic and unhealthy. And it wasn't a cult, because I don't know if you can have a cult of two people, but, you know, it wasn't great. So if you ask me now, am I susceptible to being in a cult? No, I don't think I can see myself being involved in that, hopefully.
Yeah. I'm sorry that happened to you.
That's okay. It's taught me a lot.
I mean, yeah. I think you bring up a good, or you offer a good different perspective, because I'm so overly confident, like, you will never fool me. But really, that's not true. And we all go through different phases in our life, and we're susceptible to different things. And I think if we look at it that way, then really anyone could fall for it. So what I've learned, mm-hmm. what I've learned here is that I should be less judgy of the people that fall for it.
Well, that's good. I mean, at the same time, it's all about circumstances, and yeah, it's tricky. It's so tricky, because I don't know if I judge the people that fall for cults in the way that I think, okay, maybe I do. And I think, like, how could you let that happen to you? How could you be that thick? How could you let someone take control of your life? But when I did the research about it, and I saw that it's not, what happens is they introduce the rules very slowly. So it doesn't, you don't join and then they're like, cool, you can't speak to your friends and family. You can't eat cheese. You have to pray to the aliens. It doesn't start that way. It starts with, like, just come to our seminar on yoga. It's all about yoga and how to eat clean. And that's all it is. You know, it's free. There'll be snacks. There'll be healthy snacks for you, and there'll be like-minded people. And then you get drawn in, and the more that you get drawn in, they start introducing these rules to you very, very manipulatively. And
so then you don't realize what's happening to you.
Yes.
And by that point, you already now believe, you've drank the Kool-Aid, basically. One of the key things that separates a cult from just a social group mm-hmm. is the harm that it does to society or to the people that are members of the cult. Like, you 100%. Can't, I don't think that there is a positive cult or a happy cult where people are like, this cult's great. You know, I don't mean the cult members. I mean, in society, you're not like, that cult, they're good people.
Best cult I ever met. Yeah.
Best cult leader I ever met. It always ends in some form of destruction.
But I wanted to talk about, it was something you said earlier, and I forgot how you said it. Cults, sometimes what they do is they have what's called a front. So the front of the cult is kind of sounds, do you know what a speakeasy is?
Yeah.
So it kind of sounds like the idea of a speakeasy, where you walk in, it's a normal bar, and if you give a password, you go to, like, the real cool part of the bar. So cults have a front where the beginning is people who are the recruits standing outside going, hey, have you ever thought about eating toast for dinner instead of something else? Well, we'll tell you more ways to, whatever. Basically, they just ask you innocuous questions to get you interested. And typically it's free seminars with lunch. They pry on people that maybe are coming out of, like, a lot of cults I read about take in specifically people that have come from Narcotics Anonymous and try and help them get back on their feet. But that cult, in terms of, I think, a business perspective, that front is just to get people in as the little workers, which is then funding the bigger part of the cult, which is kind of something more severe, like sex trafficking or something else that's quite just something very dodgy. And I thought that was quite interesting that sometimes, the website that I read, or the YouTube video that I watched, kind of said, these fronts, what they do is they, when people sign up, even the recruiters sometimes aren't privy to the knowledge that they are only in the front of the company. They don't really know how far in this cult goes. And so what happens is, depending on what level of seniority you are within the cult, determines how much control you have over the group and how much, I also don't know what I'm saying, but basically that it can go deeper than what you think it is. And only very few people know what the cult is really doing. what would you do, or what do you think one should do if you are trapped in a cult?
That's a very hard question, because I think it depends on the cult.
If you were in
whether my cult, or not you can like escape or just leave. I mean, I'm sure you can't just leave, right?
Right. Well, you think you can't leave. That's the whole problem.
I would somehow find a way to get in contact with somebody outside of the cult,
mm-hmm.
and try and alert people to what's going on in this cult. If you can't physically get out.
Yeah.
But also try and physically get out.
Like run. Do you know of stories of what people have done to get out of a cult?
Again, I only know from my knowledge of watching Lifetime movies.
That's fine. What if people are like?
Normally it's some form of like late night escape,
mm-hmm.
where they basically have to flee. Let me ask you one final question. Oh, go.
Have you seen The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt?
I only watched the first season because I really didn't think it was that funny after that. But yes, I have seen them.
Because that's slightly about cults.
I don't think they were really in a cult. They're like kidnapped.
Yeah, but that still counts as being a cult. You can be in a cult if you've been... I actually wrote this down when I was researching. I definitely can't find. But basically, it doesn't matter how you got into this cult. Oh, I did write it. How can you end up in a cult? You can either be born into a cult, you can be kidnapped and put in the cult, or you can be recruited.
Oh.
And that's what, and when I researched it, but there is no personality type that specifically gets recruited. And one of the examples was during a pandemic, people are very likely to get sucked into a cult because they are the most vulnerable, because they've probably lost their jobs and they're isolated, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So
actually in my research, found an article from some news station in Phoenix, Arizona, that said that cult leaders are using COVID as a recruiting tactic.
Wow.
It didn't cite any specific cults, which was semi-disappointing to me, but preying on people's vulnerability.
Preying on people's vulnerability, that's what you have to do. The founder of IHOP, he also gave 6 ways to know if you belong to a cult.
Oh. Share those.
But if you know the IHOP founder, Mike Bickle, no? Don't know him?
I mean, I don't know him, but I know IHOP.
IHOP's the pancake place, right?
Yeah.
When I come and visit, we should go to IHOP.
We really shouldn't.
Are there better places?
I'm not a fan of chain restaurants.
I see. So no Cold Stone, no TGI Fridays.
Interesting that you put Cold Stone under that category. I wouldn't consider that a restaurant.
Oh, right. It's not. It's just a chain. It's just a chain thingy.
I mean, I definitely hit me up some Fridays back in the day. I would not go there now.
Yeah, my most disappointing takeout, because I went to New York, obviously. My most disappointing takeout was White Castle.
Oh, my God.
That was probably some of the worst food I have ever eaten in my life.
Never, ever, ever go to a chain restaurant.
Yeah,
in a major city, especially. Yeah. Especially New York. So disappointed in you.
So the founder of IHOP, Mr. Mike Bickle, gives us 6 ways to know if you're in a cult. So if you identify with these 6 things, call us and we'll help you get out. So the one is where you are forced to be opposed to critical thinking, which is exactly what you mentioned earlier. So your entire way of thinking about anything is so distorted, and you basically can't tell what's real or not. The second point is that you're isolated from members of your family and friends, and you're punished for leaving. So you're basically isolated with just the members of the cult, and if you want to leave, you will be severely punished. The third one is that they use very special doctrines or ideology that are unrelated to anything, like any religious texts. Number 4 is that they seek inappropriate loyalty to their leader. Number 5, they dishonor the family unit, because essentially they try and like break you up from your family. And the 6th, which I wasn't too sure I understood, but he said that there's separation from the church. So
some cult, like religious cults, are formed as like breakaways from a religion.
Okay, got you. Okay. And those are the six. So do you identify with those six? Let us know.
Was the founder of IHOP in a cult? Like, why did that come from him?
I didn't read the full article, full disclosure. I think he did, because the start of the article mentioned how he got out of a cult, and I'm assuming that this is his findings.
Interesting.
But you said you had a final question for me.
Yes, my final question for you is, if you were to join a cult,
mm-hmm.
what type of cult do you think that you would be in?
I think I would probably be, it would either be a cult related to some kind of performance oriented, theater focused cult type group, or it would be a cult where I was convinced that they would pry on my mental health, and it would kind of say, if you do XYZ, you will never be depressed or anxious ever again. I don't see myself being involved in either of those, but if I were to be in a cult, put it this way, I would hope that if I was going to be in a cult, it would be a fun cult, because I'd like to have fun in the compound that I join. You know, like making beaded bracelets, braiding each other's hair, making up songs, doing comedy. That sounds fine. Like, it wouldn't be cool with the whole polygamy concept. I don't like sharing. Yeah. What would you join? What kind of cult would you join?
See, I don't think you can say CrossFit's a cult because they're not doing harm.
Yeah.
They're just a social group.
Your muscles.
Yeah. Right. I would probably end up in some form of like self-improvement health thing, but I'm definitely not going to live in any form of like communal living.
Yeah.
I'm not, if I have to move into like a compound and sleep on the floor with a bunch of people, I'm out.
Yeah, that's not happening.
No.
Cool. No. Well, then that's all you'll know.
And definitely nothing that's like weird, freaky sex stuff. Not getting involved in that either.
Also, it might be much more difficult for you to isolate yourself, given that you are married and have someone who is very much involved in your life, unless he decided to start a cult and then, you know, brought you into it.
Or if we were both brainwashed together.
So you asked me in the beginning, why is this a hard topic? Why did we decide to talk about cults? And I'd like you to answer that question.
I think, for me, it's a hard topic because, as I've mentioned a few times, I very closely tie radical religious beliefs or radical religions to cults. And that is not a very easy topic to address because it comes across as unaccepting. And it's also very hard for me to understand why people have very, very strong radical beliefs.
Yeah.
It's very hard for me to relate to that. It's very hard for me to relate to someone who is in a cult or has been in a cult or maybe in a cult.
So hard topic for it's hard to discuss because we don't know maybe too much about the inner workings of a cult. Mm-hmm. And it's like it's fascinating for us to talk about it or to investigate it, terrifying to be in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ignorance is bliss. So if you don't know that it's bad and you're just kind of going with it, is it really such a bad thing if it doesn't end in death? Well, yes, because it's a cult. I don't know. Conclusion undefined. Are they bad?
I think yes.
I think so too. I think we should try and break, well, not us personally, but I think.
Yeah, not breaking, us.
Breaking down cults is a good thing. If you see a cult, stop it. Just stop being a cult. Just stop. It's not okay. The owner of IHOP says it too. Yeah.
Well, all right. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Hard Topics. You can find us on social media, Instagram and Facebook at Hard Topics Podcast, or you can email us hardtopicspodcast@gmail.com.
And if you have a hard topic that you'd like for us to cover, You are more than welcome to message us at either of those channels. But it's been great chatting with you today about cults. We hope you tune in to next time's episode. And you've been listening to Kylie
and Christine.
And this has been Hard Topics.